I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, DeMarcus, you've already made a bump this season up to double A with Frisco. You've gotten off to a great start. What's been the key to your success so far this year?
I'm just continuing to believe in myself a little more. Coming from at the beginning of the season in Down East, I was in my head a little bit and got to the point to where now I'm just going out there competing and having fun and coming here and just keeping the same energy and just trying to throw the ball across the plate.
For people who haven't seen you, there are a lot of people who know your name. You know, we talk about all these guys coming up through the system like yourself. But for people who haven't seen you, what do you do to have success on the mound? What is the key for you?
Key for me is just come out there throwing fastballs and trying to get strikeouts and just trying to keep our team in a competing way and letting them making us get a chance to win the game.
And how would you describe your repertoire on the mound, pitches you throw, and how would you characterize those pitches?
My fastball and curveball guy. And I guess this analytics live stuff. Fastball is like they say, it's kind of elite, so I've just been using it to my advantage to a lot of hitters.
All right, so you talked about strikeouts. You have 53 strikeouts this year at the time that we're speaking in less than 30 innings. So you like to get strikeouts. You obviously do a good job of getting strikeouts. What's that feeling like on the mound when you get a guy to just totally swing and miss at a pitch for strike three?
When I get to a guy, most time I'm pitching, if I get strike one, strike two, I'm thinking about now it's time. That feeling of, I think it's just like when I used to hit in high school or in Dixie Youth, I hit a home, like you get that sweet feeling off the bat, you get a home run. That's how I feel when you get strike three, they swing and miss.
Do you prefer to strike a guy out swinging or looking?
I like swinging.
Because you overpower them.
Yes, sir.
All right. What's the biggest difference for you now that you're in double A compared to start of the season with Down East?
The hitters are a lot different. It's just like talking to Tony Sanchez, he's a big league and stuff, and talking to all these guys up here, it's like the hitters, they all look for one pitch, kind of. And like from Down East, a lot of guys like to swing a lot. These guys up here wait you. If you throw in a lot of balls, then they wait you out. They don't swing you. You don't get a 3-0 swing if it's down the middle. They sit there and wait you out and see can you make that pitch or not. That's what's big key to me.
And you know, I always hear that it's a big jump. No matter whether you're coming from Down East or Hickory, you make that jump up to Double A. That's a pretty big jump. Have you noticed that? You've had a lot of success so far, but have you noticed it being pretty significant in the difference, I guess, that you just described?
Oh, yes, there's a big difference. From low A, high A to here, the hitters are a lot better. Like, you go from Down East, you see guys, a couple guys hit 300. Up here is like 4 or 5 guys hit 300. And a lot of home runs. If you miss spots and stuff, a lot of home runs. If I don't command my breaking balls, but I give up a hit or doubles, mistakes, you hit hard, say like that.
All right, so you mentioned commanding the breaking ball. What are some of the things that you're still working on? Obviously, as you continue to progress, what's the next step for you in terms of your development? What would you like to improve upon as you continue to grow?
Throwing breaking balls late in counts. Like if I go 2-1, throw some breaking balls, or if I go 2-0 breaking ball, or just trying to beat. I'm not trying to, I mean, most of the time I come a lot of outers, I just throw a lot of fastballs. So now I'm trying to get to the point where I'm using the curveballs when most people think I'm using fastballs and just, I guess, getting ahead a little bit and keep my balance.
Are you someone who goes into a spring training or goes into a season and has goals, or do you just kind of go out there and whatever happens, happens?
I set a lot of goals like a couple years ago about like not trying to walk people and not trying to do this. But now I got to the point to where if I walk a guy, I mean, I'm still learning, I'm learning from it, and just get the next guy. So I don't think that much on walking, but most of the time when I set goals, I think about not trying to walk a lot of people, just compete and not trying to think too much and just throw the ball over the plate.
Did you have a goal as to where you wanted to end this year? You started in Down East. You're in Frisco now. Did you kind of tell yourself, all right, I'm going to Kinston. By the end of the year, I want to be at blank. Or do you not think of it that way?
Yes, I wanted to get the double A this year for a fact. But I set my mind on going to high A. Like, I already knew I was going there because I was like, it's no point in me just skipping the whole Down East. So I just set, just go to Kinston and set realistic goals to finish in double A. And I'm already here, so it was kind of it was quick.
Now, we've already seen one of your teammates from Down East make it to the big leagues this year, and Pete Fairbanks. There's been Ricardo Rodriguez and Jeffrey Springs who have done it from within a season, and perhaps if you keep having the success you're having, you could join Pete. What's it been like watching Pete make this this pretty quick jump from Down East all the way to the big leagues?
Man, I learned. I'm like, man, Down East bullpen. I talked to Pete a whole bunch in Down East, and he always had the good things to tell you about. Hitters, because he used to be a starter as well, and he's always talking about the like, hitters' approaches and stuff when he pitched against them and stuff, and learned a lot from him. But seeing him do that all the way to the show, and he's up there shooting, it's like, it's eye-opening and give me chills thinking about it. It's crazy.
And you were a starter as well. You know, I guess you just kind of alluded to that. Early on, you would get starts. For people who aren't as familiar with your journey, what led to the move to the bullpen full-time? And did you initially like that move, or did you want to remain a starter?
Last year, like, I didn't know I was going to be a reliever until, like, the end of spring training when the roster's posted. And at first I was kind of disappointed, but I was talking to Jose and all them. They said it's just better for me. Because, some starts when I was pitching, I go – doing real good, next one to fall off, and next one was real good, and my consistency was off. So they told me it's better if I be a reliever so I get in the games more often, stay focused a lot more, because you start, you go, you see you pitch one day, you're off for 5 days. So they got to the point where like, you're going to always be focused because you pitch one day, you're off a day, you pitch again, off 2 days, and you pitch again. So they want to, and if I do good, it's like it builds your confidence, and it helps out a lot.
All right, DeMarcus, who were some of the guys that you would watch growing up? Who were some of your favorite players, or did you have a favorite team growing up?
Yeah, my dad is from Chicago. He was born in Chicago and then moved to Mississippi. But I used to grow up, I used to love Sammy Sosa. My favorite number was 21. But I didn't convert to a full-time pitcher until now. But the person I watched the most pitching-wise is probably Justin Verlander.
And what is it about? I mean, he's obviously a tremendous pitcher, and it just set a career high in strikeouts. I believe yesterday, the time we're having this conversation, his resume is pretty impressive. But what is it about Justin Verlander that you like the most?
He got the analytics side to where that's the only pitcher that probably got the spin rate and the vertical movement on his fastball and stuff. So I like seeing him when he throws his curveball. He got a 12-6 curveball. So I just pick up the certain stuff where he pit the pitch location and the counts when he strike guys out and where he land the pitches. So that's mainly what I'll be watching.
You mentioned the analytics. They're guys who don't really pay a whole lot of attention to that. They're guys, younger guys, kind of in your age range who have really embraced that. What's your stance on the analytics and how much do you allow those numbers to help you as you develop, or do you prefer to kind of stay away from the numbers and just kind of do your thing old school?
I did it old school a little bit, but me and Tyler Phillips, like for 2016, I'll pitch one day and he'll pitch one day. He'll throw balls down the middle and guys hit it. And I'll go there and throw the ball down the middle and they don't hit it. He's like, dude, how do you even throw the ball down the middle and they not hit it? We never knew the question to it until we got Todd. He started explaining like spin rate and all this stuff, but I think about it a little bit, but it just like if you have they give us these things to where like they tell you like where your fastball ranks in the minor leagues and all this stuff. And I got mine like 2 years ago and mine was real high, like 100%. And I was like, and it like gives you like confidence. So it's just it helps you with confidence. But I don't really buy into it a lot. But it just when I do look into it, it just builds your confidence.
All right, DeMarcus, I know off days are few and far between at any level of baseball, especially the minor leagues, because you're taking bus trips and sometimes an off day is cut in half because you're taking some long bus trip back. But if you get an off day to yourself, What do you like to do? What are some of your hobbies away from the field?
Last off day, we went fishing. Sometimes we'll probably just go to the mall, walk around, go find new places to eat, try out seafood. I'm a big fan of seafood. I tried it's a seafood place in Frisco I went to try, and it was real good. And I guess it's just fish, play video games, and just walk around the mall sometimes.
All right.
New places.
You're going to a seafood restaurant. What's your order? All right. I know that every restaurant's got, like, their different specialty, but all things being equal, DeMarcus Evans goes to a seafood restaurant looking to treat himself. What are you getting?
I'm probably going to get 3 pounds of crawfish. I got crawfish last time, and it was delicious.
All right. So saving all the hard questions for last there, DeMarcus. Well, we appreciate it. Congrats on the success you've had so far, and best of luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.